My name is Connie. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, fear, and lust. Hello. Please pray with me. God, thank you for creating us in love with a value that cannot be removed. In spite of your love, I confess that I often desire to hide things from you and from others. Please help me to share the story you've given me with freedom. God, I also ask that you would remove the shame and pride that holds us captive and heal us by the same power that raised Christ from the dead. In Jesus' name, amen. I was born and raised in Dallas by both parents, who are still married today. I grew up knowing I was loved. Their commitment to each other, regardless of feelings and circumstances, still encourages me to live selflessly. I remember attending church with my parents and hearing about Jesus, his perfect character, and his love for me. When I was 6 years old, I prayed to Jesus and asked him to come into my heart. I knew that he had died on the cross for my sin, and if I believed in that truth, then I would live in heaven with him forever. As a spoiled only child, pride and selfishness came naturally. I used profanity often and was frequently verbally or physically abusive toward my peers. Because none of these behaviors seemed to attract negative attention, they continued, and I encouraged others to act the same. When I was enrolled in a new school in seventh grade, everything changed. For the first time, I was nervous about making new friends. Within a few months, my fears were confirmed as rumors began circulating that I was gay. I felt rejected and alone. That same year, I dislocated my knee during dance class, which required me to wear a brace that kept my entire leg straight so it could heal. Because of my fear, I did not complete rehab, and I didn't return to dance for a few years. I also began to have nightmares about re-injuring my knee that would continue for years to come. At the time, I couldn't see how these painful experiences could be good for me, but these events marked the beginning of God's work to remove all the barriers in our relationship. The rumors, bullying, and my knee injury caused me to turn to God. My mom and I had been going to church, but God's word and his presence suddenly became something that I needed. This is when I discovered the mysterious beauty of knowing my Creator. I began reading the Bible at night and pouring my heart out to him. He became my counselor, my faithful friend, and my comforter, but he wasn't yet Lord over my life. Being obedient was still difficult. I knew that God existed and that I belonged to him, but obeying God seemed impossible and unreasonable because of my pride. I ignored scriptures that seemed extreme and not applicable to my culture. I made up a God on my own terms that allowed me to pursue popularity, lust, and comfort, thinking that because of God's grace, I would be spared from the consequences of my actions. I experimented with alcohol and smoking with a few friends. I had been exposed to pornography several times in the past and had begun to seek it out on a regular basis. I also continued to act inappropriately with boys. I knew that sex before marriage was wrong, but I wasn't going that far. Plus, secret sins seemed fun and exciting. However, these sins quickly drove a wedge between me and God. Proverbs 14:12 says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. In my pride, I drew the line in the sand between sins that were socially appropriate and those that weren't, and patted myself on the back because I wasn't crossing the line I'd made. I justified my behaviors, and I bought the lie that I wasn't really hurting anyone. In college, one of my high school boyfriends began to pursue me again. When he pressured me to have sex, as he had done so many times before, it didn't take long for me to give in. I remember thinking, I really don't care anymore. This stands out as one of my darkest memories. I knew sex before marriage was wrong, but I couldn't yet see why. After a year of dating, my boyfriend proposed and I said yes. The engagement only put more pressure on our relationship. The fights, threats, and manipulation from both of us continued to increase. Clearly, the relationship was unhealthy, and although there were many other warning signs, I did not heed any of them. 1 month before the wedding, I finally sat down with God and allowed him to probe my heart regarding the upcoming marriage and the uneasiness I had towards it. I cried out to God in desperation, and he gave me the strength to end the engagement. This was a pivotal point in my relationship with him, and is one I often look back to for hope. I had ignored the Holy Spirit's conviction, acted carelessly with regard to my own purity and his heart, but when I cried out for help, God rescued me. He did not hesitate. God's love for me was and is more powerful than my rebellion could ever be. Although this could have been a spiritual turning point in my life, I continued to try to find happiness without God. I feared that God's goals were different than mine and somehow less desirable. My pride told me that I could make it through without his help. I pursued psychology as a career and also as a way to understand my ever-increasing depression. I shied away from Christian counselors because I was ashamed and still not ready to surrender my life to God. Depression controlled me. I used a mixed bag of tricks to mend my heavy heart. Attention from men, exercise, dieting, counseling, antidepressants, sporadic drinking, then excessive drinking, then more dieting and exercising, all so I could get attention from men again, and on and on. My control and self-sufficiency increased during this time as I tried to keep all the plates spinning. If one fell, I would find myself pointing the finger in judgment or beating myself up in an effort to force perfection. Under all the anger and pride, I felt hopeless and confused. In relationships, I continued my pattern of temptation and manipulation to try to get each guy to settle into a long-term relationship. I think that if God had provided a husband, I never would have stopped trying to find my hope in men. About 3 years ago, I reconnected with a friend from college who is a member of Watermark. She persistently encouraged me to return to God. I remember being so angry with her for speaking truth to me because it felt like judgment, but I kept meeting with her. I knew I was stuck. Soon, I realized that I had put 110% into every boyfriend I had, but I had never given God all of my effort. So I dove in. I began attending Watermark on a regular basis. I remember one Sunday hearing a church leader stand up and admit that he was broken. He needed a savior. So it was okay that I needed one too. It was refreshing to hear his humility. I was hungrier for God's word, for his truth, than I had ever been before. I bought a study book that went through Matthew and found myself doing multiple lessons each day. My friend also invited me to her community group. Seeing other women run towards God and fill their hearts with scripture encouraged me to do the same. Most of my activities at this time encouraged sinful behavior, and most of my friends were not living lives set apart for God. So with some encouragement, I began to make more changes. I said I would give him everything, right? As I made decisions to honor God and put him first, he provided for my every need. And sometimes when I drug my feet, God used circumstances to help me along. My work is one example. At the time, I was working in a children's psychiatric unit filled with stress and sickness. God gave me several opportunities at work to share the love and hope of Christ with kids that were desperate for healing. Although I loved my job there, the environment was stressful and unsupportive. After an incident with a patient, I was fired. Although the circumstances surrounding that incident were painful, losing that job was a blessing and an answer to some very specific prayers. I needed to have a more structured, less stressful career, but was too afraid to make the change. I was also about to begin a master's program for psychology, but again, God made it clear that this was not the path that I was to follow, and I resigned from the counseling program. After searching for work for a month with no leads, I was offered a job in a supportive environment around others who were following Christ. It was exactly what I needed. By God's grace, I was able to stop drinking, smoking, and dieting, and instead try to focus on God and treat my body as his temple. Proverbs 16, verses 2 and 3 say, "All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." Tim Keller, a pastor in New York City, once explained the word commit that's used here. The Hebrew root word means to roll over onto, to put all of your weight on it. I had to put all of my life into the Lord's hands in an act of faith. My social life, my career, even my hope for a husband and a family. Commit your work to the Lord, and then your plans will be established. One of the blessings that came from walking with the Lord was freedom from depression. Instead of weeks or months of depression at a time, it turned to days and then just to a few hours. Several times I remember falling to my knees and begging God for mercy, and then the cloud of depression would lift. Turning from my sin was necessary, but I had some amends to make. I had hurt a lot of people in my rebellion. I asked God for forgiveness for rejecting his instruction and thinking that I knew better. I also asked for forgiveness from my parents and from a few friends and ex-boyfriends. It often did not go how I thought it would. Some felt judged, just as I had, and shared their concerns with me openly. They said things like, "Connie, it makes me sad to see you missing out on life. You're not a bad person. Relax a little." Or, I get it. So what you're really saying is I'm doing something wrong, right? One of my best friends told me, I don't know how to be your friend anymore. We've known each other for 12 years, and I don't know who you are. These things were painful for me to hear, and sometimes I didn't know how to respond, but I knew I was moving in the right direction. One change on this new path was that I began sharing the gospel with the homeless in Dallas on a weekly basis. It was scary at first, and some people encouraged me to stay away from my own safety. I saw firsthand the brokenness of sin in one of the most difficult mission fields that I know of. But I also saw lives changed by the good news of Christ. I learned there that everyone has a story and everyone is loved by God. After walking with the Lord for a little over a year, I noticed my anxiety increasing. I had become accustomed to praying and seeing growth, so this was new ground for me to consistently pray with no result. I knew God's power and I desperately wanted him to take away my fears, but there was a deeper root there that needed to be unearthed. A friend recommended that I attend recovery at Watermark. It was overwhelming to me to commit to something for a whole year. Although I was afraid, I made the commitment to show up and keep coming. I remember that for months, if anything bad happened, anything at all, it always happened on a Monday. I had to look at it like this. Anything that was keeping me from coming here was keeping me from growing in my relationship with Christ. Another one of my fears was the recommendation of others not to date during recovery. This isn't always the case, but for me, since lust and idolatry to men have been such pitfalls for me in the past, I reluctantly agreed that this was probably wise. This decision was difficult, and my resolve on the matter was tested several times in different ways throughout the year. God carried me through the season, providing several deep friendships with other women. I am thankful that God recentered my focus on him and the importance of friendship. During recovery, other women in groups shared openly about their struggles. I knew I could talk about my junk and not be rejected. Because I was making progress, I underestimated how damaging my occasional struggles with lust could be. I settled into the idea that occasional sin is okay, it's inevitable. Although my lust had never been directly focused on women, for a season I had obsessive, lustful thoughts about one of my close girlfriends. I felt scared and ashamed. Galatians 5:9 reminds us that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, which is just another way to say that sin corrupts, no matter how small or insignificant it seems. I had been sinning in secret by occasionally acting out on my lust, thinking that I wasn't hurting anyone, but I was. I was corrupting my mind and my heart. This was the motivation I needed to completely surrender my lustful behavior and thought life to God. I opened up to other women about my sin even more, and I experienced even more freedom and joy. As my year in recovery was ending, I knew that I wanted to give back. God had worked so powerfully through regeneration, and I had been looking for a place to serve. It seemed like a great fit. 1 month after my group ended, I began leading a group of women through the steps. This also meant that I would participate in recovery myself. By serving, I am learning to look at others with the eyes of God, full of grace and love, and seeing the great potential in every person, even if it's not yet realized. It's like the rebuilding of an old house. Someone shared this analogy with me a few years ago. God sees us like a house that needs remodeling. We are beautiful and have value, but because of sin, our foundation is cracked, the walls are filled with asbestos, and there are holes in the ceiling. So often we look at ourselves and think, if I just look good, I can get by. God, just patch me up, throw some paint on the walls, maybe give me some new furniture. God looks at us and says, no, that won't do. He lays a new foundation, and he makes a mansion out of our hearts. God takes residence there and goes to work. The construction process is messy, but that's okay. There's no need to hide the mess. We've got a sign out front that says God at work. We give him the glory in the midst of the mess because we know that the final product will be perfect. A unique architectural masterpiece, one that only an eternal and holy God could create. That is what it's been like for me to serve in recovery. I get a front row seat to the renovation process, an encouragement to continue letting God renovate my heart. God has continued to purify my mind and heart as I participate. It's not just a program, it's a way to remove barriers to my relationship with Christ. God has used sickness, chronic pain, and other health issues to work on my pride during this time, among other things. I have had to radically change my diet, lifestyle, and my attitude, which keeps me dependent on the Lord. I'm often reminded of 2 Corinthians 4:16. For we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. I cannot depend on my physical strength or ability, but on God, who sustains my spirit and my body for his purposes. God has shown me that a lot of my behaviors can be gathered under the umbrella of codependency. Fear, anxiety, control, and people-pleasing all come together with codependency. I still find myself taking responsibility for the actions and feelings of others. In the last few months, God has done a lot of work in my heart, freeing me up to make decisions on a daily basis that are more wise and loving. When I started this journey, I just wanted to be married and successful. Today, by God's grace, I can see that the blessings of marriage or success do not bring satisfaction in and of themselves. Psalm 73, 25 and 26 say, "Whom have I in heaven but you? There is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. God's love is my provision and joy. My flesh is weak, but he is sufficient." I have to admit, being weak is not something that I signed up for, but it's worth every moment of pain, fear, and loss to be rescued by God and to bask in his infinite love. I could never experience that on my own. If you're here for the first time today, thank you. Thank you for having the courage to come. Whatever it is that brought you here, I promise that God desires to comfort you and give you peace. For those of you who have already committed to spending your Monday nights here, thank you for being honest and real. I can't tell you what a blessing and encouragement it is. Through you, God is working to bring us an eternal hope that does not disappoint. Thank you for letting me share my story.